Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Finally, someone has given a watch list worthy of discussion. Finally, finally, someone is watching real TV. Emily Heller, welcome to TV Club. Emily is a writer, comedian, whose new podcast, What Is a Jeopardy Podcast, is out now. I am so excited to have you here.
Yeah, very excited to be here. You are the only person who watches as much TV as I do, I think.
Truly, I got your list and I was just like, finally, someone is for real about this, okay? They come on, and I love what everyone watches. That's the point of the show. We love what everybody watches. But sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, you're watching The Bear, cool. Yeah, you know. But not
very
here.
Original.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Yeah. Where'd you hear about that one? Like some indie underground magazine? Wow. But today we have so much that I've wanted to talk about. Some things I watched a while ago on your watch list. I'm so happy to see you bring up some of these shows. So I say we dig right in. What do you want to start with?
Oh, my gosh. It's up to you. It's the host choice. What do you want to start with?
Okay. I'm going to say let's go Love is Blind.
Okay.
Love is Blind.
Oh, yeah.
When you're listening to this, you know what's happened. The finale
you know
has happened. We're going to talk about that. As we're talking about this, we are at the point where Jeremy has flown into the sunset on a jet ski. This is where we are in the narrative, FYI. Which
yes.
I think is a beautiful point to start talking about this show.
I will say, I was like, I optimistically put on my watch list Elsbeth, which premiered last night, not realizing that I would need to be watching Love is Blind all night. So I did not watch the Elsbeth premiere, but I am planning to.
Yeah.
This week, it was an interesting break in form where they just put out two like 70-minute episodes.
Yeah, instead of usually they've been doing like the three.
Yeah, the 3 hour long. But I think maybe they knew that they only had one big cliffhanger in them.
Yes.
For this batch, and that's why. But yeah, it is getting so tense and dramatic. And as per usual, I don't want any of these people to get married.
None of them. I finally was like, oh, maybe we have a season where I believe in true love for someone. For a little bit, AD and Clay gave me that. And then this week, literally every week, Clay is like, and when I do cheat on you, because I absolutely will, just know that it's going to happen. Just FYI. And she's just like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, no. And now I'm back to no one should get married. Even the boring couple that like, I don't even know their names, like the blonde guy and boring girl who are just like, it's tough.
I don't know their names either, but they're like, we won't have, we can't have sex until you get a vasectomy.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, I don't, I think you guys could just like try a condom. Just, it's fine.
I know. I will say, like, I'm glad that the show has been talking about abortion more, I suppose. I know they started like a couple seasons ago with that like big kind of surprise fight that they had about it. I forget which characters. These people just leave your brain as soon as the new season comes out.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as the new season, you're just like, I don't remember any name. I truly am like, you know, the broke girl and the guy who was mean. And that's all I ever remember.
But yeah, there have been just like very surprising villains this season. Jeremy, I did not expect this from Jeremy.
Oh, I absolutely thought this was going to be Jeremy's story.
Really?
Yes. At no point did I think that these two people liked each other. As soon as she was like, I hate what he wears. I hate how he does his hair. I hate this. And he, like, they got into that big fight over the, like, slapping a titty thing. I was like, oh, these two people actually hate each other. I was like, okay, before the whole him going out with Sarah Ann thing happens, they meet her family, and she brings up that he, like, likes another girl. She brings up Sarah Ann, and you can tell her family is, like, uncomfortable, and you can also tell he's super uncomfortable. He's like, why are you bringing this up? I'm trying
to make
a good
impression. Why are you setting me up to fail with your family?
And you see on his face, and she never, like, locks in on him. It's like but she also, you can tell, is purposefully antagonizing him because she's mean.
Yes.
She is mean. So I was just like, they're not going to get married. And I want to see how it blows up. I was like, they're either going to make it all the way to the altar, and it's going to be one of those like dissing each other vow moments where they both are like, fuck you. Fuck you. Let's not get married.
Right.
Or it's going to blow up beforehand. And it blew up in the best way.
It blew up in the best way, where she was like, what were you doing hanging out with her until like 5:30 a.m.? It really felt
just
like
talking, just talking, which just talking until 5 a.m. What do you have to talk about? What
do you have to talk about? What could you possibly have to talk about? I mean, this is my own personal sort of like block with these shows where I'm like, sometimes I love when they talk about politics, but then sometimes it makes it so hard for me to like connect with the characters, because in the pod, Sarah was like, yeah, I'm like anti-choice, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I kind of am like, I'm a man, so I shouldn't have an opinion about it. And the fact that like, there's just something about the fact that she's like a conservative that makes this whole thing feel weirder to me. It just it makes her feel more like a person from another planet, because I just don't know. Like, I don't know. It's so hard for me to articulate why there's such a block here around her.
There's something that is so pick me. I don't know. It's like there's just, some element of it that just makes it extra gross and sleazy. And the whole, I don't know. It's just something that
maybe it's just that, like, he doesn't give me like conservative vibes. And so I'm sort of like, I guess, surprised at his sort of like continued attraction to her. Because for me, I was like, I wish they had explored what his actual reaction to that revelation was, if anything. Like, I wanted to hear what his politics are, or if that matters to him. Because it boggles my mind when politics doesn't matter to people.
I don't think it matters to him. I don't think it matters to him. And I think he is one of those type of guys who is, I shouldn't have an opinion, whatever the lady wants. But if they meet like a super submissive Republican girl, they're like, oh, yeah, this is what I want. Like, I know I'm not supposed to say that I want this, but like, I want this. And then he would totally have gone for that, even though on paper he's like, no, totally feminist, girls do whatever. But I think he totally would have been into it. And when he got with I can't remember her name, the blonde mean
Laura.
Girl. Laura, I think he realized, oh, she's not that kind of girl at all. Like, she's going to tell you what to wear. She's the boss. And I think he immediately just started looking for ways to blow it up.
Yeah. I think that there has been a heightened amount of, like, meta-narrative this season, too.
Yeah.
People are very aware of the cameras. And there was a really interesting fight in these past two episodes between Chelsea and Jimmy. That was essentially about the show.
Yeah.
Where he was like, you brought up my friend who is not willing to be part of this narrative of this television show, and you did it on camera, and that crosses a boundary for me.
Yeah.
And like the lengths that he's trying to go to protect people in his life who did not agree to be part of a reality show narrative, which is like his right. And the fact that then
absolutely
the show.
Absolutely his right.
I wonder if the show even tried to find a way to cut around that in the fight and couldn't, or if they gave a shit. Because.
I mean,
they didn't include her name, which is good.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many people in his real life would be able to figure out, like.
Yeah, absolutely. They're able to figure it out because she shares. She's like, and you used to fuck her and da da da. And
yeah.
Chelsea is my villain of the season.
For sure.
I tweeted this and people got really mad. Everyone was like, how can Chelsea be your villain when Jeremy exists? And I'm like, first of all, Jeremy can't be a villain because he's not even in the show anymore now. Like he.
Yeah. And I'm too bored by Jeremy.
I was too
bored. To keep up with what he's doing.
Yeah. And that was just like a bullet dodge situation. Like, okay, like Lauren was never going to marry him anyway. Moving on. Chelsea is instead just like taking headshots at Jimmy all the way down the aisle. She is just like nonstop badgering this guy. And he is so patient.
They are having the most incoherent, but coherent in a way that you're like fascinated fights with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, this is like watching, it's not even gaslighting necessarily, but it's like, it is absolutely manipulative and like bizarre, but such a common tactic.
Yeah.
Like she is shifting the narrative in real time as
she drunkenly
rants at him.
Always drunkenly, which I'm also like, girly, what's up with that?
Why are you a problem?
Why in order to be with your fiance, you need like 5 dirty martinis to get through it? Like, what's going on, girl?
What is going on?
What's happening?
I started to wonder with her these past couple episodes, because again, Jimmy's no prize. Like, let's be real. He's not a pro. I'm not like team Jimmy. She is just behaving in such a possessive and insecure and also unreasonable way, like asking him to not be friends with his friends anymore. When in the previous episode, he was like, look, it's really important to me that you be cool with the fact that I have friends who are women. Like,
who are women.
They're very important to me. And they met her and they reassured her that, like, they want his happiness with her.
Yeah.
And she still is not comfortable with it.
She can't handle it. I hate that she has me rooting for and agreeing with a white man. I hate that she has me. I don't want to be on Jimmy's side. But then Jimmy,
making it impossible.
Impossible. When he was like, if you want me to take a step back from my female friends, just say that. And she goes, okay, I want you to take a step back. And he goes, and I'm not willing to take a step back, and just walked away. I was like, yes, Jimmy.
I was like, so impressed by that.
I was just like, thank you, Jimmy. Yes.
Yes.
And I hate that she has me cheering for him. But like you said,
But then they make up and I'm like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I think he doesn't want to seem like a bad guy on TV, and he knows how easy it will make it like it is to make him look like the bad guy in the situation, especially since he is clearly attracted to the other girl that he liked. And
right, of course.
She's a clear snake in the weed. She is totally willing to
go for
that.
She's
just waiting. She's willing to go for that D at any moment. She just like, I think, wants to be on the show and was like shocked she didn't get chosen by someone. And Jimmy's just kind of like, I know if I go for that, I'm going to look like Jeremy and everybody's going to hate me. So I'm just going to keep trying with Chelsea. And Chelsea is drunk. I don't know what she's.
And Chelsea's just, she is a drunk and she is not. I mean, she's clearly very insecure about Jess, but before he gave her a reason to be. Like, just by the very virtue of Jess existing, she's. Because Jess is like, yes, looks like a model.
Yeah.
And. Like, Chelsea knew that before Jimmy saw either of them. And as soon as she knew it was possible for him to, like, see her, she just immediately started being like, you haven't kissed me all day. And all he's day. Like, what about the 16 times that I did? And she was like, those don't count.
Yeah. She truly was. He was like, but I kissed you this morning. And then I kissed you when you were at your desk. And then I kissed you when you were out on the porch. And she's just like, what? And then it's like, girl, you had like two bottles of wine. You don't remember. Let's talk about that part, Chelsea.
Yeah. I have started to get the feeling with her that she is ramping up to try and do in like a Beyonce moment at the altar of like,
yeah,
you can't treat me like this. Like,
yeah, like I know my worth now and I deserve better than this. And it's like, girl, like what?
You have been abusive to him.
To him. It reminds me of the couple from maybe it was last season or two seasons ago, Cole and I can't remember her name, but they like got into the cuties fight, like the whole big fight over she was like, he called me fat and told me not to eat. And he's like, I was just saying, like, we're gonna go to this big steakhouse. Like that I wasn't saying your and it was a yeah. whole thing. And then she, like, at the altar had that moment of, and I see my worth now, and I deserve better than you. And he was just like, what? Literally two days ago, I was like, yeah. He's like, if you didn't want to do, I said we didn't have to. Why did you just want to embarrass me in front of my friends? And I think that's what Chelsea wants to do at this point, is that she knows that he doesn't really like her. And she is just going to have that. She's going to embarrass him and be like, I came out on top.
Yeah, I think that's what she wants. And I think she also... you know, obviously now that the show is airing, she knows that she's not getting that edit. And it's, I mean, Nick Lachey, Vanessa Lachey belong in prison. I'm an abolitionist for everyone but them.
Yes, absolutely.
This show is evil. but it is, yeah, still consistently just like, just so fascinating to me. I can't stop watching it.
I
was also
stop.
Interested in the conversation between AD and Clay where they talked about like the thing that is like at the back of my mind watching every episode of this show, which is why not just date? Why do you have to get married in 4 weeks?
Yes.
Like, why does the show pose it like you are going to choose whether you say I do or say goodbye forever?
Forever.
It's like it's the like... show cannot control whether that is the case. You cannot control whether these people like continue seeing each other after they decline a 4 week engagement.
A 4 week engagement in full marriage with legal contract and everything. They are allowed to just be like, how about we just date without cameras for a bit? Which I think the show doesn't want because there's a horrible like success rate with that. Like every couple that's been like, we're just going to date ends up breaking up. But if they can like force the marriage, although I think the only like what two, maybe three married couples from the show have stayed together.
I mean, I don't even think it's about the success rate. I don't think that's why the show's doing that. I think they're doing that because they're putting false stakes on the marriage.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting false stakes on whether or not someone says, I do at the altar, which, by the way, that's not like a – they act like it's a common convention that everyone decides at the altar whether or not they're going to get married and not like this weird contractual
like just
thing
a part,
from the
show. From a reality show. They, like, have the pastors work it in as though that's part of every standard American's, like, vow.
So, yeah.
And now it's time to ask the question, do you want to see this person ever again or is it over? And it's just like, well, this isn't how it goes.
Like, they all have each other's phone numbers now.
Like, they can text.
There was that conversation between AD and Clay where Clay was like, how important is it to you, the timeline set out by the show of the 4 weeks and marriage?
She was like, I'm about it for real.
I was so shocked because she is the most clear-headed of all of the contestants this season.
The most clear-headed. She isn't trying to start drama.
She's not trying to start drama. She's the one who was talking to Sarah Ann being like, do you feel like the conversation you had was respectful? She put it in the most diplomatic and also cutting way possible. Yeah, I was like, I love you in this moment.
I loved her in that. I was like, I need to be your friend. I need this kind of like logic in my life because I would have been there talking to Sarah Ann like, don't you think that was kind of hoey though? Don't you think he was acting kind of like a hoe? Like you knew what was up. And she instead was so diplomatic of just, but wouldn't you say that it was a little wrong to marry someone, yes. to message someone you knew was engaged. You're, and it was just...
You're aware that he is engaged, correct? Like, she was truly like... I mean, she must be such a good friend because you yeah. only learn how to talk like that when you have friends who are fucking up and you are trying to confront them but stay in their lives.
But stay in their lives. And she also was just so direct with the questions of, but don't you think that was wrong? She would not get swayed. She just kept being like, okay, but Sarah Ann, don't you think? And she also yeah. kept using her name. I was like, this girl's a pro. She, yes. But then when
she did not humor her, but she also didn't like get into it. It was great. But so when he says, like, how important is the timeline to you? And she's like, it's really important that we honor the commitment that we made.
That we made. What? Girl, it's a TV show. And like,
I think that if we don't, then yeah, I will not want to like be with you. And I'm just like, I do get that, like, in this particular case, I guess you could sort of argue that, like, this guy's issue is the commitment part of it. Yeah. And, like, if he says no at the altar, it will, like, freak her out for that particular reason, even though it's, like, such a reasonable thing to be like, I don't want to marry you, but I love you, and I want to be together, and I do want to marry you eventually.
Yeah, but, like, let's figure it out. Right now. Like, my only, like, you know, example of relationship was my mom and my dad cheated on her for, like, 20 years, so maybe I just need some time.
And, yeah.
And she's just like, no, I don't care about that anyway.
I'm sorry for everyone listening who's just like, if you could only see what happens, you
yeah,
know, but.
Yeah, you're all like, we are on the other side. We know.
Yes, and, but... we're already watching the next season and yeah. we forgot about who all these people are.
Yeah.
Because that who immediately happens.
Yeah, that's, oh, yeah, immediately. Like, as soon as all the drama dies down, I'm just like, oh, right. That. Oh, yeah. I already forgot about the one couple, Kenneth and the brunette girl. I, like, as soon as they were gone, I was just like, oh, right. They were in this.
What happened to them? Yeah.
Yeah. They just were the most respectful, boring. Okay, so this isn't working and let's just call it a day. And as soon as she walked out, he called his friend and was like, yo, what's up, playboy? You going out tonight? What's going on? He just moved on. He did not care.
What are your guesses for who's gonna say yes?
The boring couple will, that blonde guy and whatever name, they're definitely gonna say yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. I don't think Jimmy and Chelsea will do it.
No.
And I think something will happen with Clay and AJ. I think, like, the bachelor party, something's gonna happen with Clay. I don't see them making it. I he keeps telling her he's gonna cheat. He's gonna do it. Like, yeah.
I could see them, like, both saying yes at the altar and then them, like, showing a card on screen being like, they broke up the next day. Like,
yeah, exactly. Just like, and their marriage lasted a week and they decided it wasn't going to work. I could absolutely see that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And you know if we're right or not. That's fun for you, right? You get to see if we said dumb stuff. you're going to know. We don't.
I will say I'm usually surprised by how it plays out. Like, usually it's like there are people who say no who I expected to say yes, and there's people who say yes who I expected to say no. And I'm like, because like Kwame and Chelsea, I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. And they're still together. I know.
And they're still together, I think. Yeah.
The way I totally forgot about that season, the way you said that, and I immediately was just like, Zach, Bliss, Kwan, like, all of it just came flooding
it
back
all
to
just
me.
Like the Matrix. You're like, I know Kung I like, Fu.
Oh, my God. I was like, that whole season happened. Like, yeah, Portland, Seattle. And they, like, all those couples are still together. And I was just like, okay, I didn't expect any of these. And oh, and Zach did a swap out, right? He was like one of the first guys to do a, I picked the wrong girl. Can we just, like, keep it going, though, and just bring Bliss in?
Yeah. And he's very, like, kind of outspoken about the show now, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fascinated by everyone who's like, fuck this show after they go on it.
After they go on it. And, like, even when they're happy and they're just like, but actually, no, it was horrible. They starved us. They only fed us alcohol for, like, 12 hours a day. And it's like, oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. It is an evil show and I should not watch it.
Yeah. But also, I.
But
like,
also,
I like
let's
it.
Talk about it a little bit more.
But I like it.
TV, I say. Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Beddys.com. That's Beddys.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Okay, let's talk about a reality show that has better ethical stakes, I guess. Traitors on Peacock.
Yes.
That's all people, so I don't feel bad for them.
Yes. Let's not. Yeah. We don't have to feel bad for them.
You don't have to feel bad for these housewives.
They're all competing for money they don't need.
They do not need. And it is such a small amount of money. We can, I think, talk openly about this episode because in the future, this isn't spoilers. This is, you're probably already at the end of the season and while you're listening to this.
You probably are.
So we can talk openly about what many are saying is the episode that has derailed the end of this season of Traitors. That just really cements this as one of the worst seasons of the Traitors within the game. In terms of entertainment, it's a good season. But what we've just seen.
But skill level.
I don't think anyone knows that they're playing a game, except for like two people who are just like, yeah, guys, this is a game.
What I think is so fascinating about this show is like any strategy you can concoct of like, okay, I am going to like go for the shield because then people will think I'm not a traitor because why would a traitor need the shield?
Yeah.
Like all of that shit does not matter or make sense because that is assuming a level of intelligence of your opponents in the game that is not relevant.
It is not relevant and it is just not there. At the end of the day, you need to convince someone like MJ that what you're saying makes sense. And MJ is just staring at you with a blank look like, but I don't know. Phaedra has pretty hair. So how could that be? Like after, so we pick up on this episode, MJ has the deciding vote between Peter, who has been the most faithful of the faithfuls. He's helped banish two traitors. He is everybody's guy, and Phaedra, who is a traitor, and everyone figured it out because she at no point ever tried to hide it. Like they would have
at no point ever tried to hide it, has never put forward a theory on anyone else being a traitor. Yeah. Until they accuse her. She has also blatantly killed every single person who has accused her immediately.
Immediately. As soon as someone is like, well, Phaedra, she's just like, and I hope you die. And then she goes to breakfast and is just like, so anybody can pass me the eggs? Like, what a fine breakfast we're all having. While everyone else is like, who's going to come down? Oh, no. So. Yeah. Everyone pieces together pretty quickly. She's a traitor, but somehow it comes down to MJ. They left us on a cliffhanger. Who's MJ going to vote for? Is she going to use her head and be like, why would Peter kill all of his friends in the game?
Yeah.
Or is she going to vote for Phaedra, the person everyone knows is a traitor? We started the episode. She has voted for Peter. I love MJ, this stupid, 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 stupid girl.
I was so shocked. And I was annoyed that they left us with that cliffhanger because every other episode they've shown us a banishment.
Yeah, we see a banishment.
But this episode, they were like, they left us with a cliffhanger. And I was like, they're trying to make this seem more exciting than it is because she's obviously going to vote for Phaedra. Like Phaedra's gone. And then. Yeah.
No.
I mean, you gotta give it up for this show.
You have to. Like, and the way they film her voting for Peter, Peter says he's a faithful, and her brain immediately starts turning, and she's like, oh, why would Peter kill his friends? Oh, Phaedra tried to get Trisha out. Oh, and then she just immediately is like, I think Phaedra's a traitor. And it's like, yes, girl, yeah. We needed that two minutes ago.
Yes.
Oh, it was incredible.
It was incredible. And then, so now, like, this is the episode where Phaedra has had so much time to figure out how to handle this situation of, like, what do I do when everyone is accusing me? And also, she watched it happen to both Dan and Parvati, or as Kevin says, poverty.
Poverty.
which is so funny.
I love it. I absolutely... And I also love how Phaedra says when she's like, Parvati, and it's like,
yeah,
amazing.
She watched what happened to Dan and Parvati. And now I'm like, wait, what is it actually? Okay.
Poverty.
She watched how they handled it wrong by both immediately like turning on the people who accused them instead of being like, I really feel like I need to clear this up, that I am a faithful. Yeah,
that I'm a faithful.
You know, like.
Presenting another theory.
None of these
traitors
have ever stopped for a second to ask themselves, how would a faithful respond
to this
situation?
Not one. They all just immediately are like, oh, well, actually, I think this person. And I was like, girl, all you have to do is be like, look, you know, I have had to defend myself. I'm tired, but I have been working on a theory and trying to figure out and get close to who I think the traitor is. And that's why I think Sandra is. And Kate was serving up the Sandra idea on a platter. Kate was like, I got the go. And Kate can sway people because they're dumb. Like Sheree and MJ are just like, well, Kate's played the game before, so I just do whatever she says.
Yeah.
Which I'm also like, you guys know Kate lost when she played before, right? She lost the game. She didn't win.
Oh, but she's about to win. She's about to win.
Oh, I thought she was. And then she flew too close to the sun, I think, with that Phaedra comment. When she did the whole Phaedra, I'm voting you out because you're selfish. And she went so hard because she wanted to build that distance so no one would think like, oh, maybe Kate's a traitor. She was like, I'm fully throwing you under the bus. And Sandra picked up on that. Sandra was like,
what do you mean? There's not like a faithful version of how that's true. There's only a traitor version of how that's true.
And Kate is a horrible traitor, by the way. And I wanted Kate to be a traitor because I love Kate Chastain. I absolutely adore her. But she can't. She has no poker face. She can't, like, lie. She can't think of anything. Like, I would have just been like, well, it's just really selfish that, you know, she was up for banishment against Peter. And we lost such a good faithful when the whole time, you know, she knew she was a traitor. And we could have had her out a day before. And she just could have made anything up. And instead, she's just like, well, you know, because selfish. And Sandra was like, no, that's like really weird. That's like a weird thing to say. And now I'm like, it's Sandra's game. Like, unless Kate needs to kill Sandra. That has to be the next kill. But that's, yeah. Or
but
she needs to make Sandra
like,
a faith or a traitor.
Like recruit or like convince other people?
I think recruit Sandra and then still convince other people. And then when it comes down to final ceremony, you get them all to turn on Sandra and be like, everybody's kind of suspected you from the beginning. And then you're the traitor who gets to stay.
Yeah.
And Sandra is going to have to be like, I've been here since day one. Kate hasn't been. She's the traitor. And people are going to be like, oh, so you're just trying to turn it around on the person accusing you. But that requires a level of thinking on Kate's part that I don't think she is going to get you.
Sure. It's interesting because I do feel like the way to last as a traitor on this show is to let the other traitors make stupid decisions.
Yeah.
At least on this season. On this season, that's how Phaedra flew under the radar for so long.
Is
because
Dan and Parvati were so sloppy. They were so, so sloppy. Like at every stand, they just were like in a corner scheming with each other and making like weird faces. And everyone was like, so you guys are definitely traitors, right?
and when people asked them like who they think a traitor is, they were like,
immediately killed
the person
who
was
asked.
Finding them out.
Just immediately be like, so they were kind of suspicious. We gotta kill him. We gotta get him out of here. Just no traitor has played with any sort of strategy this season. Everyone's just kind of vibing, and it worked for the first few episodes. And now I'm a little like, oh, this is going to be a really disappointing finale because Yeah, it's just like nobody's smart.
Kate is going to take it. I don't think people are going to feel confident enough about her.
Yeah.
To banish her.
And I think they do feel confident about Sandra. I could see her either getting killed or banished.
Yeah.
But
even though, yeah, I mean, it's so everyone on the show's like in their confessionals is like, I'm really good at reading people. And I think Peter has some traitorish behaviors. And you're like, what are you talking about? All think they're Machiavelli, and then they have no idea what's actually happening.
Cherie is my favorite with that. Because Cherie, in this episode, did one talking head. Her first talking head was like, I've known Phaedra for so long, and I just do not believe she's a traitor. Her next talking head, I know she's a traitor. I definitely, who else could it be? God. And then her next talking head is, I just really still think she could convince me. And I was just like, girl, you don't have any idea what's going on.
Also, her plan for finding it out was to ask her straight up, are you a traitor? And she was like, I don't think she'd lie to me because we're such good friends. And it's like the game dictates that she's literally not allowed to tell you she's a traitor if she is one.
So what do you think's happening here, Cherie? Come on.
And I'm like, where do you think you are?
She's not going to get Kate out. She's not going to get Sandra out. I think it'll come down to like if CJ and Trishelle, which also I'm like, they're too smart. Like you need dumb people at the end. Like it has to be in that final circle, like Cherie and MJ for Kate to win. I just think Trishelle and CJ are just too smart and will be like, yeah, no, Kate.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know.
I feel like it is so obvious to me, but like they do not think about this, that like the way people react at the banishments is so telling.
Yeah.
Because like Phaedra, I feel like the worst thing she could have done, like the nail in her coffin, was that when they banished Peter, she wasn't like, oh no.
Yeah.
What did we do?
Oh no. She's like,
she just like smugly drank her water.
She just drank her.
It was like,
and everyone was just looking at her like, you bitch. Yeah. And she was just like, wow, look at that. And I was like, girl, everybody knows you're a traitor.
Yeah. Like, it seemed like she was convinced that she could maintain her voting block regardless of what she did.
And that's how she was thinking. Like, that night when they had to kill, she's like, well, MJ liked me and this person liked me, so we shouldn't kill them because they like me. And I was like, girl, use your head.
Use your head.
If you kill another one of Peter's people, they're going to be like, oh, it's Phaedra. It's the person who's like, I hope all of Peter's people die. And that's exactly what happens. And, like, her banishment is so funny because it was just everyone, like nobody was even trying to fight it or deny, like CJ's entire thing of just being like, I think you came on here to be like the opposite of the little sweetheart I know you are because I'm in love with you. I totally ship that. CJ and Phaedra forever. And they're just like
the
smiling at
looks they were exchanging. She was just
full on
banishment.
Smiling, like, you got me, boo. I am a traitor. She was not just, it was just adorable.
She seemed genuinely relieved.
Yeah. I believed, and also, I love when they did her talking head and she's like, I came here to do what I wanted to do. I got the people I like to the end and now I get to go to the spa. I truly don't think she cared about the amount of money. What does Phaedra need with like a $1,500? Is that?
Yeah.
Every time they say the prize pot, I'm like, so you're trying to split like 100K between three people? Like what are
Yeah,
we really
which after
doing?
Taxes will be like $4,000.
$4,000. Like Phaedra was just true. I truly do believe her when she says, I just came here to kill the annoying people that I didn't like and to go home. And that's what she did.
I will say, like, if I were a traitor and I got banished, I'd be like, you're welcome for not killing you.
Yeah.
To everyone who banished me. You are welcome.
You're welcome. I didn't kill you because I liked you guys. And that's why you're still here. Which,
and or you had a shield.
Yeah.
But
which was the case with Trishelle. Like, she really wanted to kill Trishelle.
She really
so
wanted to kill Trishelle.
Which I was like, girl, that is going to put the biggest target on you if
I
you
know.
Touch Trishelle.
I was like, it's good for you that she has a shield because
if you could, like,
otherwise,
you're gone.
Yeah.
But people are saying that this season lost momentum with the episode where it was like down to poverty and Peter. And instead of giving us a banishment, they did that weird like fire thing where they could like gift each other a shield. And everyone was like, you're just doing this because we all know that they're going to vote out poverty. Like you're just trying to make it like not happen right away and to slow down the momentum. Kind of agree.
I also thought that it was because they knew that Peter would have been killed and they wanted to keep him in because he had been like actually doing strategy. Everyone else was just like chaos and like
they were definitely like, we need some, like they did, Peter didn't get the shield and they were like, we need to do something to keep him safe because we need the story, otherwise they will just kill him and it is an easy crush for the traitors the whole way, the rest of the way.
Yes. This is the first season of The Traitors I've ever watched. And this is also the only reality show I have ever gotten my husband to watch with me.
It's so good, right?
It's so good. It's so fun. I mean, it's absolutely brain off entertainment, but it is so good. It's so funny.
It makes me fall in love with
Cumming.
Like, oh,
Alan. I mean, he's giving his best Tim Curry and Clue.
It's just incredible. Oh, the challenges are so ridiculous every episode.
Oh my gosh.
I never care about the challenge, but I do love how seriously they take it. And this most recent one where they had to like run across these planks that are floating on water. And it's the first time Alan breaks. Like, you can just tell he's losing his shit every time
he's
one of them falls.
He's cracking up, he's laughing at these people falling in the water. And it's like, it's so funny.
So funny
because he has been... like, he does not break character.
Yeah.
Like, he has not been breaking character. Like, there will be, you know, he's saying the campiest stuff of being like, he cannot say the word murder without,
murder.
Like, drawing it out. Murder. And, like, even when they have shots of them, like, walking through the woods and he's facing forward, none of the contestants can see his face. He is still in character.
When they did the whole ridiculous like funeral march thing.
Yes.
And the whole time Alan is acting as though this is a real funeral. Like I bought it. I was like, he truly believes they are lowering a body into the ground at the end of this. He was in on it. And this time people are just falling in the water. And you can tell he's supposed to be saying stuff like another one into the bug or something, or what, some dumb pirate shit. And instead he is just cracking up. He just can't take it. Was incredible.
Yeah. He like looks at the camera and is like, this is the best day of my life.
This is the best day. He's like, I can't deny. This is all I've ever wanted, is to see like MJ from Shaws of Sunset or whatever fall into a lake. And I'm so happy.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Betty's.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Is there anyone that you wish had not been, like, murdered or banished?
Oh, sweet Lord, not Ekansu. Not Ekansu.
I was like, this show is acting like Ekansu is a nobody.
Yeah.
And she's not a nobody.
She's not a nobody.
She is Ekin motherfucking Sue.
I loved how everyone also hated her. Everyone was just like, she's so annoying. I can't stand her. I think she's a traitor. And I was just like, it's building up to what's going to be a really good banishment. And then they just killed her. And it was like, oh, well. And it was also an accidental death because poverty was dumb. Like, it was the whole, she couldn't give
she
someone the
like,
cup.
She just, like, could not get anyone else to drink out of that dirty goblet.
Yeah, this dirty goblet where everyone's like, no, thank you. I'm going to go with the glass cup, girl. Like, what?
Yeah.
And so it was just like, you didn't even mean to really kill her. And I think we would have gotten a lot more out of her.
Yeah. I wish that she had been given a chance to shine the way she did on Love Island, because she was like one of the best Love Island contestants of all time.
Yeah.
Like, she won that show in the biggest landslide it has ever seen and will ever see.
Will ever see.
That it was like they got like 68% of the vote or something.
Yeah.
It was like such a blowout. It was unbelievable. And it was all her.
I
mean, Davide was pretty incredible. But like the two of them together, it was just like unstoppable. But
yeah. And I think she would have been one of those people where enough people think she's a traitor, but enough people don't, where she would have been a good shield for Phaedra. Like, she would have been the person that Phaedra could be like, but you guys, I can sue. And instead, there was just no one that realistically, like, Phaedra could point at except for Sandra. And I don't really know why she wasn't willing to do that. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Just imagining the alternate version of this season where Ekansu was a traitor makes me sad.
Yeah. I do. I see where they were coming from with the traitors they picked. But I do feel it could have been better. And like, I saw a theory today, Ira tweeted it from Keep It, that they should have recruited CT instead of Peter. And I was like, oh, that would have been good, actually. I do think Phaedra should have recruited CT instead of Phaedra or Kate, like, or instead of Peter or Kate. Because first of all, Kate, horrible traitor. And I think CT and Phaedra together, like on the same side, he would have protected her so hard. He would have been
and
like,
they may have like made out in the tower.
And that would have been, oh my God, and in the dungeons and like, oh my gosh, and like played like Princess and Knight and oh wow.
I also want to shout out CT's John impression this episode.
It was so good.
I was like, that's a pretty good John.
It was a good John. CT, you're incredibly hot and attractive to me. I don't know if you're single, but I would date you. Like, he won me over, especially when all of the, like, he was running across the planks with the gold and all the women were just like, oh my goodness. He's so athletic. Like, wow, look at
him. He is, like, loving being the only man.
The only man, yeah. He truly was like, I'm the bachelor now. I was like, yeah you are. Okay.
He's like, who's going to win a one-on-one with me?
And I was like, I kind of want to see that, actually. Oh my, and I, oh
yeah,
my.
It's like not the golden bachelor, but just sort of like the sort of
dead
bachelor.
Bachelor. Yeah, but just kind of like, you know, your midlife crisis bachelor. I would watch that. I also love when Phaedra voted for him and was just like, I believe in girl power. And they just like gave each other the cutest little,
God. I was like, this is like nasty.
Yeah. I was like, you two get a room, please.
This is like the horniest this show has been.
I was like, they're going to make out on the table. Like, stop. But keep going. Like, I love them.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about two amazing shows that I've been wanting to talk about. Okay, I want to do sort of on your list because, oh my God, I found you. Someone else who's watching sort of. Oh my God, hi.
Oh my God,
I thought I was
alone.
It's you and
me.
It's just us.
I think if we dug in, we would find a bunch of these shows on the list because I feel like you're the only other person who watched Flatbush Misdemeanors the way I did. Did you also watch Work in Progress? You watched
absolutely.
Work in Progress too.
I watched Work in Progress. Like, I wrote a script for Work in Progress.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I think the next day the show got canceled and everyone I've ever sent it to is like, what is this? Well, I've never
why
heard of
this. Why did you do this?
Yeah, there's like, why? So you just chose the most obscure show to write a spec of? Like, thanks. There's like, no, I have no idea who's Abby. And I'm like, it's good if you knew it. But anyway.
This is actually pretty accurate to her character.
Maybe you want to watch the pilot or something, but I really, really nailed it. But I would say, sort of is kind of in that same box as Work in Progress. It's super queer. It's like one of those shows you're shocked a big network took a chance on. Then for some reason, people just kind of miss it. But also it's not promoted enough and a whole thing. But sort of in its third season, its final season now. And I've loved this show since it came out. I don't know why people don't watch it. It's also one of those weird ones where it's like, I think out in England or something before it comes out in America. So that
Canada.
Yeah.
And I think that's also like Max would not have made this show.
Yeah.
But Canada made it. And Max was like, sure, we'll put this on our website.
We'll put it on. It was.
I'm not sure about the mechanics of it, but like I was like,
oh, it was absolutely that.
Zaslav is not like.
Yeah, there was
Zaslav doesn't know what this is.
There was a brief period in 2021 where HBO was like, "We're HBO Max. If we want to stand out, we have got to show people we care about the gays." And they greenlit all these gay shows, like sort of. Well, they picked up from Canada. They did Legendary. They created HBO. It was like Max by Orientation or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then they did a queer comedy special with queer comics. I was one of them.
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then truly when it moved from HBO Max to Max, they were like, okay, so we're not doing any of this anymore. Oh, it was called Human by Orientation because it was like HBO. And then they dropped the HBO and they were like, all the gay stuff has to go. We're taking it
all down.
Yeah, they're like,
our only gay show is The Gilded Age now.
Yeah, that can be that only
and
gay
show. And
we're
kicking Che Diaz off and just like that.
Just like that. No more queers, no more gays. And they were like, fine, sort of. You can have your last season because we didn't have to pay for it, but then you're gone. And
yeah.
So this is, I think, the end of a beautifully like weird indie queer era of HBO Max shows that got to exist for a moment when it was like, yes. Oh, wow, they have Search Party and like Southside and they're doing weird stuff and hacks. And now we, I think, can safely say that time has come to an end. What do you love about Sort Of? Like, what do you, it's such a good show.
It's such a good show. I mean, obviously, I really like the sort of like understated jokes. I think that it is also like, it walks this really like fine line of being a show about a non-binary person where their primary story is not about their like identity, but it also doesn't ignore how like seismic that identity is for how they move through the world, where they're like, actually, this person has like all of this other drama happening in their life that is very real and human. And it just takes for granted the like appeal of Sabi, like to people around them. And also, that like there are so many people for whom like their relationship with Subby is complicated by more than just their identity.
Yeah. That, oh, that I mean that perfectly nailed. Yeah. It's just such a beautiful show that
it's a show for if you haven't watched it, it's a show about this person named Subby who like in season one has like just been fired from their nanny job and then the nanny mom who they're working for is like in an accident and has and ends up in a coma and Subby has to like continue their relationship with this family because they need them. And even though there is this like awkwardness of them having just been fired. And that's just such a great place to start
to start a show. Yeah.
Like the stakes are so high and the like energy between the characters is so real and so weird and like.
Yeah. And the way you see them step into this new intimacy with the father, who's obviously like, you know, my wife's in a coma and all this stuff. And then the second season very much flips that on its head when the mother comes out of the coma. And the new season really gets into their family dynamics in just a way I thought was so beautiful, where we see them deal with grief and loss. And Subby's dad dies and we start there. And I didn't really know what to expect from the end of this show. I was like, is it going to end on a more comedic note? Is it going to try to make me cry? And of course, it excelled at doing all of those things. So,
yeah, I will say like. My one qualm with this show, and this is something, and I think I would not have this qualm if it wasn't such a like. Sort of common trope in shows that are created by the stars. And I think maybe I'm like projecting a little bit too much on this, but I've just seen this on so many shows where the star of the show is also the creator. And some shows do it well. I think that, and some don't. I'll tell you what I'm talking about before I talk more about what I'm talking about. But where the best friend character is singularly myopically focused on the lead.
On the lead.
In
a way that subsumes their
interest in their own life.
Yes.
Not in a romantic way, just in a like, I'm not a fully,
fleshed out character or person. You don't know what I do. All I seem to do is follow around this person who is my friend.
And ask them leading questions to get the information out about this
and
scene.
And go, I know you, and, okay? I know you, and I know something's up. And it's just like, that's all you're here to say.
And it's just like, what's going on with you this week, Seven? Like,
yeah, the whole
time. And I think like, yes. And that's something where I was like, I really wanted from the final season a moment where Seven confronts Subby about the fact, like, you're going to Berlin without me.
Yeah.
You abandoned me when we were planning to go to Berlin at the beginning of the series. And I want them to refer to it as the series when they have this conversation.
Of course.
I wanted them to say, like, yeah, like, this was our plan. I wanted to go to Berlin. And then I didn't go because you
said
decided to stay. And now you're going without me. And
that's it's never brought up as like, isn't that kind of fucky? And also, like, they have this weird moment of like they're going to be roommates, and it seemed like they were finally going to address that dynamic, and they just don't. They're just like, you know what? It's easier to just have them still be friends, so whatever. Let's Seven's fine.
Yeah. And that to me felt a little bit like, and I will say on the flip side of that, I think a show that did a very good job of subverting this trope a bit, or at least like not falling into the pitfalls of it, feeling like making the friend a prop, was Starstruck.
Yeah.
Where Kate's sort of like very intense love for Jesse was addressed in a way by her having to deal with like I still want to have a relationship with Tom too.
Yeah.
And like I have to like go to his engagement party and like deal with the fact, you know, like
it was real.
Kate had her own. It was real. Kate had her own stuff going on, and Kate got to get mad at Jesse at times. And like, I think that was what was missing for me. I was like, Subby makes these really impulsive decisions.
Yes. That are just like, horrible for everyone. And there's never a call out moment. Like, kind of Subby's sister is that person, but then you can also, they just kind of write that off as, oh, she's going through her own stuff, actually. Like, it's not Subby at all. It's actually this whole thing with the relationship, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, well then, okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, there's also echoes of that, I think, in Subby's other relationships, where I felt like the relationship with the nanny mom and then also the relationship with her boss's son.
Yeah.
Kind of come out of nowhere of, like, and it's not, and I'm a little bit like, why do they like Subby all of a sudden?
Same. It's like,
I was like, why is this happening? Like, you haven't built this. It's not because Subby isn't appealing, but you haven't laid the groundwork for this relationship.
Yeah.
You're just acting like it's paying off nothing.
Yeah, it's like, because Subby is just so magical. Yeah. So why wouldn't they? And it's like, okay, I guess, but.
Okay, I guess, but can we see Subby, like, do one thing for another person?
Yeah, like, can I, because, like, I'm, like, I was just, like, I understand the mom character, like, likes them, but enough to, like, embarrass themselves at a memorial like this where they're screaming and being, like, please, just talk to me. I'm, like, really? Is it that serious? Like, okay.
Yeah, and I think that, like, the show is probably at its strongest when you see Subby in their relationships with their other family members because you buy there's history there that makes sense for why they feel so conflicted with each other. And like at the moment when they find out that Subby is inheriting like 70% of their dad's estate and that their sister is getting like 30, and that just causes their sister to like slam the door. You're like, there is so much going on here that's so interesting. And like, because it's not just about like, because you're like, Subby got it because they were assigned male at birth and that's complicated.
Yeah.
But then also like, what are Subby's sister's feelings about that? Like her feelings about it are so complicated in that moment. And I was like, that's so rich.
That
and
was so rich. That was my favorite part of this final season. Just it's good.
I also loved the fake wedding.
Oh yeah, I love the fake wedding. That was so fun.
That was just like a straight up like fun caper where like Subby's sister is. Why can't I remember her name?
I can't remember her name at all.
Yeah. is like pregnant and her mom is like, you cannot be an unmarried like mother. Like for me, it will have consequences for me if our community knows that you are like having this baby out of wedlock. And they're like, everyone just needs to think that you're married. You don't actually have to get married. Pretend to elope. And then mom will look fine in front of her friends. And so they stage this like fake elopement. And it's like such so a funny. Nice like twist on the classic like shotgun wedding episode. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and, like, it's so funny.
It does this weird just subverting of the like runaway bride thing by like having the groom be the one who just like has this incredibly funny freak out. It is just such a good show. If you liked Starstruck, you'll love this. If you liked I Hate Susie, any of those shows, I think you'll really love Sort of. We're at the hour. This was,
oh my god,
we only got through three shows and you had so many other shows. I want Ghosts, Love Island, All Star. You have to come back like a million times.
I would love to come back. And we didn't even talk about Jeopardy, by the way.
I love talking about.
I am
game
here
shows.
To promote my new Jeopardy podcast. And like, yes. I have so much to say about what's happening right now in the world of Jeopardy. Like, we are in the middle of the Tournament of Champions and it has been upset after upset. It is unbelievable what's happening in the tournament right now. And like, the top seed was knocked out in the first round of the TOC in a runaway blowout game. And it was like so shocking. And there's also a villain in the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions for the first time in probably the history. And also Ike Barinholtz, who won the Celebrity Jeopardy tournament, is competing for the first time.
Like, I didn't know they were had him in there.
He is playing on Monday next week. I cannot wait. You've got to watch. I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
I will be. I love him.
I love him. I like. And yeah, so he won the Celebrity Jeopardy tournament. They invited him to compete in the regular Tournament of Champions. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see him get his ass kicked. But now I don't know what's going to happen because every game has been very surprising.
And I feel like he would prepare. I feel like he'd be shockingly prepared.
I think he might prepare, but everyone else is also going to be very prepared.
But something about him just makes me think like he hired someone. Like he got a intense tutor or something. Like he's waking up at 4 in the morning.
I wonder. Yeah. I really wonder. But so he's up against Ray LaLonde, who is a hero to union workers everywhere, because when they were planning on doing the Tournament of Champions with recycled clues, Ray LaLonde, who is, I think, the third seed in the tournament, went online and was like, I am a union set dresser. I do not feel comfortable, like, competing in a show where the union writers are not writing the clues. And every other top seed was like, I'm with Ray. And that's why we had to wait so long for the TOC. And that's why. And so he's going up against Ike. And I'm like, I can't wait to see them, like, just, like, TV. Hanging out.
This is going to be incredible TV. I'm in. Thank you so much for sharing that incredible news. Go listen to What Is a Jeopardy Podcast. It's out now. Emily, where can people follow you? Anything else you want to promote?
I'm at Mr. Emily Heller online. Just listen to my Jeopardy podcast if you love Jeopardy, or even if you don't, maybe we can make you love it.
There you go. There you go. TV Club, make sure you're caught up on all the shows I just mentioned. Go watch Sort Of. Yeah. Also watch Masters of Air, that weird show on Apple TV. I got to talk about it more because it's getting weirder. But that's another time. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a vegetarian.
Veterinarian? It's awesome.
An I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Beddys.com. That's BEDDYS.com.